Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, and our host, as always, is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And Dr. Dobson, today we're tackling a topic that's very close to your heart.
Well, Luann, you have heard me mention many times on this program in the last year or so that I live just two blocks from a rather plush Planned Parenthood here in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. And that means that I have to drive past them every day coming and going. And my heart grieves when I see these cars parked out there and know what's going on inside. Mm-hmm. I grieve for the women. I grieve for the babies mm-hmm. that are there. And probably 4 days a week, there are cars in that parking lot.
Doctor, my own son's pediatrician is right there next door to it, so I know exactly what you're talking about. We had this conversation the other day. We pulled in for his appointment, and we looked over, and we had to say, there are children dying in there.
Yeah. Well, what has encouraged me is that for more than a year, there have been people carrying signs in defense of the unborn out on the street. They can't get within 300 feet of that Planned Parenthood, and the city enforces that pretty rigorously. But there are as many as anywhere from 10 to 30 people or more who are out there trying to encourage people to keep their babies and to save their lives. And a number of them have. And I've made some friends out there, and two of them are with us here today.
Yes.
These are men that I have great respect for, and I think it's going to be very clear why as I introduce them. Father Bill Carmody is with us. He's the pastor of St. Dominic Catholic Church in Security, Colorado. He has been the Respect Life Director for the Colorado Springs Diocese for 22 years, and he has held a mass at Planned Parenthood clinics here in town every Saturday since Mother's Day weekend in 1994. Mm. Also joining us today is Joseph Martone, another man who is ardently pro-life and heavily involved in the anti-abortion events in our city. Joseph, I met you one day when I was driving by, and I stopped, and we had a conversation, and I appreciated so much what you told me that day. You are disabled. Yes. You walk with a walker. Just to know you personally, you were injured when a big door fell on you?
Freight elevator door.
Elevator door. Yeah. Mm. And that was how long ago?
June 1st of 91.
And so you have been totally disabled since then.
Yes.
And yet you're out there on the street as many as 40 hours a week.
Yes.
Why?
To make a difference, because life is precious no matter what the circumstance.
And you have had some saves. That's what you call it when you encourage a woman not to abort her baby. And when she listens to you, that's a save.
Yes. I mean, it's God using me. You know, all glory to God, without a doubt. And I'm blessed for it.
Now, you have been abused a lot of times. How many times have you been attacked? Even though you have difficulty walking and you're obviously disabled, and yet people come up and attack you.
Physically, 32 times.
Hmm. And how do they attack you? Do they hit you?
Yes. Throw things at me, hit me. I've had a gun put to my head. I've had surgeries because of those attacks.
And you have a sign on your walker that says,
"Stop abortion now."
And that's especially offensive to people, isn't it?
Very much so. Yeah, I've been, you know, physically, you know, 32 times, but cursed thousands of times. You know, it's pretty much every day. If I leave the house, you know, it goes wherever I go. And it's an extension of me. I've been asked to leave every kind of facility you can imagine. I've been assaulted in Target, Walmart, and Safeway. Safeway's never asked me to leave, though. Target's asked me to leave multiple times, so has Walmart, and I've never left.
Where do you get the courage to take a stand for righteousness in that way?
God, I couldn't do it alone, you know. It's tough, and always handle it respectfully, you know, no matter what is said to me.
Well, the comedy is that your impression in dealing with people that even those who call themselves pro-abortion or pro-choice know in their hearts that it's wrong.
Yes, I believe that. And, you know, you can lie with your mouth. You can't lie with your body. Yeah. And if you ever listen to them, they talk, they have their teeth grit saying, it's okay, it doesn't bother me. And they're gritting their teeth as they're saying it because every fiber in their body is saying, this was a human life. And you can do one of two things. You can knock them over the head with the truth and make them run away, or you can love them and recognize. See, if you don't love the person as they are, how are we ever going to get them to love the child in their womb?
Mm. Yeah.
If you treat the mother as the enemy, both lose.
And she's not the enemy. No. She is another victim.
She's a second victim. Exactly. Mm. And we need to see that in them, that they are victims just like their babies.
Do you get criticism from your parishioners?
Well, I've been doing this so long, I think the ones that criticize are long gone. I mean, you know, a lot of my priest brothers say, you shouldn't be so bold because you're going to hurt people. And my response to that is, if you're not bold, you're going to hurt people. And a lot of them are silent on this issue because they don't want to, out of a pastor's heart, they don't want to hurt people. They don't want to rub their nose in it, so to speak. But if you speak about the truth and at the same time the love of God and forgiveness, I think that squelches the anger. Yeah. If all you do is speak about the truth without the reconciliation and the love of God, then people get angry. But when you talk about reconciliation, I mean, my model is Jesus. Who condemns sin more than Jesus? And who had more compassion on sinners than Jesus?
Tell us what happens on those street corners outside Planned Parenthood on a given day. People come by. Do they honk?
Well,
do they smile? Do they wave?
Good and bad.
Yes, you get all of them. And I'll be honest with you. Our culture's changing. And my anecdotal evidence to that is we're getting more positive now than we did before.
Really?
Yeah.
More positive waves, thumbs up, and then you will get the middle finger as well. But that's becoming less, and the positive is becoming more. I think our culture, slowly but surely, is becoming more pro-life. Our young people are pro-life off the scale. You go to March for Life, and it's 85% young people. And part of it is, our side's having babies. Their side isn't.
And they're raising those babies with the truth.
With the truth, exactly. And if one side's having babies and the other side's not having babies, well, where does the culture go?
Well, that is one great point from our guest, Father Bill Carmody, on this Family Talk broadcast. We do have more to come in a moment, but I wanted to let you know that if you cannot stay with us for the entire conversation today, remember you can listen in at drjamesdobson.org. We hope this broadcast is inspiring you to think of ways you can get involved in the fight for life in your very own backyard, and we will have more information on how you can make a difference in a few minutes. But for now, let's return to our discussion as our guest, Joseph Martone, shares more about how the difference he's making just spurs him on to even more action. So here he is now on this Family Talk broadcast.
And having such wonderful feedback and secured obvious saves, gives me that even
that
more
means
even more courage.
That a baby was saved because of the work.
Yes,
you did.
Mm-hmm. I have a story from last week. Thursday, I talked to a young lady leaving. She left Planned Parenthood, and I walk across the access road. When I get to the driver's side of the car, I turn around and try and talk to her. She rolls down her window, driving a brand new Lexus, 17-year-old girl. And she says she's considering abortion. She actually made an appointment for Friday to come back. She took my literature, the Watch Me Grow brochure, Planned Parenthood brochure, and two prayer cards and the Life Net information. Yeah. And Thursday night, she called me. She said, I don't know what to do. And I said, you need to talk to your family, to tell your parents. She said, my parents don't care. All they do is throw money on the counter every single day so I can eat and do what I want. I don't see my parents. I come and go. She lives in a guest house from a wealthy family. And so you need to talk to your parents. And we talked for a little while. Saturday, I get another phone call. Joseph, I talked to my parents. I said, good, how did that go? She said, well, can you hold on for a minute? I said, okay. All of a sudden, there's a man on the phone. Joseph, I'm her father. And I want to thank you for helping my daughter, saving my grandbaby, and saving my whole family. Him and his wife hadn't had a meal with his daughter in a year. He says, as of today, things change. She'll be in our house. Oh. We're going to take care of this baby. She's going to continue school. He says, I've been foolish. We were on the phone 2.5 hours. And you can curse me and attack me all you want. You know, it's stuff like this. And
plus, there's a baby alive that will live someplace in eternity.
Family is going to be more connected.
Because of your courage.
Right.
And
he knew the answers right away. He's just been oblivious to what was going on around him, I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
Wrapped up in money, yeah.
Father Carmody, does that touch your heart?
Absolutely. And I think it touches on no one has an abortion in isolation. Mm-hmm. There's always a family issue.
Yeah.
You show me a good, loving family, and the chance of abortion go way, way down. First of all, the chance that they're engaging in promoting chastity. You know, you show me a good father who cares and loves his daughter as a father should. She doesn't go seeking it outside of a marriage bed.
Yeah, many parents think teenagers don't want to know what they believe or think, but they are the greatest influence on children. This is why Planned Parenthood has gone to such length, and NARAL and the others, to keep parents from knowing.
But it's evident that this goes way beyond just wagging your finger at somebody. That is not your heart at all. I mean, listen to you. It really touches me, Joseph, to hear you describe the ramifications of your one act of obedience in talking to that one little girl. And you're thinking you're just saving a baby. You have, as you said, saved a family.
It is amazing. I mean, I'm blessed for it. It gives me this. I know pro-lifers have done this better and longer and smarter than me, who've never had a confirmation. And for whatever reason, God's given me these confirmations, you know, the fact that I walk around with that, you know, with the sign on my walker, I guess I need a little bit more of a push sometimes. You know, it's not easy. And to always handle everything that's thrown at me in a respectful way, God bless you, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, and try and change their hearts and minds. It's not easy.
In the time that I've been out there, the people honk all the time. They come along and they're encouraging you.
Well, it's good and bad. You got to pay attention to the honks.
You get them both.
It's deceiving.
Yeah.
But yesterday, we didn't have a curse yesterday. We were amazed. Just all these thumbs ups. It was like a great day yesterday. We were blessed.
Now, one of the waves was mine.
Yeah.
Father Carmody, what's your experience out there? Do you have those same kind of stories?
I'm not aware of confirmation, to use Joseph's words. I think what's going to happen with me is when I get to heaven, I'm going to be greeted by babies.
And by Jesus, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
And then I'll know what impact I had. Until then, I won't know.
What are the people who are out there with you saying to you?
Oh, they're nothing but encouragement, and they literally thank God that I do what I do. They are amazed about the long-term commitment, and I see myself as the beloved disciple in the story of the crucifixion, where all the other disciples ran off, head for the hills, whatever. Mary and the beloved disciple sat at the foot of the cross of Jesus. They didn't try and save him. They didn't try and do anything. They just were there, so he didn't die alone. That's my model. I don't want those babies to die alone. I want them to know that there's one person out there that cares. And, you know, the song, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" I can answer definitely in the affirmative. Every Saturday, I'm there when they crucify my Lord.
Mm. Yeah.
I started in 1994 Mother's Day because a Protestant pastor got together and asked different churches to come and do a religious service at the abortion clinic. And so I did it on Saturday morning, and I just never stopped. The idea was to do it for a week. It's still going on.
As long as babies are dying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who mm-hmm. you well know, admitted that when there's people out there praying, it affects the whole building. It just changes the whole ambiance of the building. The very fact that there are people of God, they're praying, interceding on behalf of these babies, on behalf of their mothers, and it just changes the whole dynamic of the people in the abortion clinic.
And you'll never know how many people drive by on their way to abortion clinic mm-hmm. who turn and go out the
exactly.
other way.
Exactly.
Well, right. You know, walking around with the sign on my walker, I've had a lady in Safeway tap me on the shoulder, "Sir, I want to show you my baby that I had because I saw you one day."
Why?
And that, again,
that's its own reward.
And that just keeps me going, you know. But, you know, they go in there cursing us, laughing at us, and walk out that door broken immediately. They don't realize what they're doing. And that's why we need to keep on going, too, because a lot of people just don't realize what they're doing.
We have a recording that was made of a prayer prayed by a 16-year-old boy mm-hmm. at the 40 Days for Life rally. And I want to let our listeners hear it now.
Absolutely, Doctor. This just represents what you mentioned, Father Carmody, how the youth of America are taking the lead. Joseph, you described that story of the 17-year-old girl. That is where the fight over abortion is happening, is with our young people. And this audio we're about to hear was recorded on location outside a Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs. And it features a young man named Steven Steininger. And this will just bless you to hear how these young men and women are standing up to defend life in our nation.
18% of abortions are committed by people between the age of 15 and 19. That may sound like a small number, but listen to this. That is about 300,000 abortions a year committed by people between the age of 15 and 19. I would like to pray that the children of God in this country that are between the ages of 15 and 19 will be able to change their hearts towards the lives of these little children. Dear Father, it breaks my heart to know that people would kill their children because they feel they have no other option. I'm sure it breaks your heart more because they are all your children. It breaks your heart to see these people coming to the clinic feeling they have no other options, feeling they've been abandoned. But you, Lord, will never abandon them. You will never leave them or forsake them because you are a God of hope. You are a God of love. You are a God who can restore these people. We pray that after they have the abortions, Lord, many feel discouraged. Many feel that they are sinners. And I just pray that you would touch their hearts, that they would feel love, from those around them, that their families, their boyfriends, their husbands would not abandon them when they have an unplanned pregnancy. God, but they would encourage them, they would stand by them, and they would support them. I pray that we would be leaders in our generation, that we would rise up to change the minds of the youth in this country, that we would not be cowards, that we would be men of honor and of courage, that we would fight till abortion is eradicated from our country, and that if it never is, that we would fight until you return, Lord, because we know that you can stop abortion, and we ask you today, please close this clinic where hundreds of babies are killed each day and each week, Lord. We just pray that you would stop these things from happening, Lord. In your son's precious name, who died on the cross, for every person who enters that building, for every baby that dies in that building. Amen.
What a powerful prayer of that young man and his passion for those children.
An entire generation has grown up knowing nothing but abortion. And every young person knows that they beat life's lottery. They know that one-third of their classmates are gone. They know some of them have siblings who aren't here. It could have been them. And that's what you heard in that voice, was, first of all, a gratefulness to God that I got through.
In closing, Joseph, you're talking to some women now who are contemplating abortion. Out of this large number of people who are listening, there are some that are there.
Yes.
You're not here to condemn them.
No.
But let me let you talk to them directly. What would you say to them?
First place, you have a life inside you already. It's not tissue. There's a baby to be born. Let it be born. Turn to God, trust God, trust your family, go to your family. Don't keep it to yourself, no matter what the reason. There is no good reason for the abortion. No matter what a doctor's told you medically, just trust God, just a little bit. You don't need to trust him a lot. Just trust him. Know he's there, and he's going to help you. And that baby was conceived for a reason that can make a difference in the world. No matter how big or how small, no matter how important or insignificant, that life is precious. Trust God. Give life. Hmm.
Father Carmody, how about you?
Well, I'd like to address the women who have, and men for that matter, who have had the abortion.
Yes.
Yeah. And feel they've committed the unforgivable sin. I want you to know that we in the pro-life movement forgive you. Hmm. I want you to know God forgives you. It's time to forgive yourself. There's hopeafterabortion.org. I'd ask anyone within the sound of my voice, go to that website. Get the help you need. Because, ironically, before the abortion, you have Jesus telling you don't do it and Satan telling you do it. And you listen to Satan. After the abortion, you have Jesus saying, come get healing, and Satan saying, there's no healing for you. Stop listening to Satan. Listen to God. We welcome you back with open arms. God forgives you. We forgive you.
Such a tenderness expressed by both of our guests, Father Bill Carmody and Joseph Martone, today on this Family Talk broadcast, for all victims of abortion. Perhaps you feel like Father Carmody was speaking directly to you there at the end. If you have participated in abortion in any way, you need to know that healing can only be found in receiving the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. If you want and need that hope today, please call us here at Family Talk. We would love to speak with you, pray with you, perhaps even send you your very own complimentary copy of the Gospel of John if you don't already have a Bible. Here's the number to call. Call 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. 732-6825. You can also connect with us at drjamesdobson.org or even on our Facebook page. Or maybe this topic hasn't really impacted you personally, but you're passionate about saving babies and helping hurting women. We would strongly encourage you to get involved in this fight in your local community. You can find ideas on how to get started at drjamesdobson.org. And as we commemorate the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade during this Sanctity of Human Life theme week here at Family Talk, we also highly encourage you to learn about the 40 Days for Life campaign, which kicks off on February 13. These prayer vigils and community awareness programs on behalf of life are happening all across the country. So to learn how you can participate in your own neighborhood, again, go to drjamesdobson.org. Thanks so much for spending this time with us and for making your voice heard on the issue of life. We ask you to return next time when Dr. Dobson shares the classic story of the tiny foot. That is a powerful illustration of the sanctity of all life, and you won't want to miss that right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.